Srimad Bhagavatam, or the Bhagavat Purana, Canto 1, entitled Creation. Chapter 4, The Appearance of Sri Narada, text number 11. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namanti Yat Pada Niketam Atmanaha Shavaya Haniya Danani Shatravaha Kavang Sa Vira Sriyam Anga Dusyajam Yuvaishatop Swastum Yuvaishatot Swastum Aho Sahasubihi Namantiyat Pada Niketam Atmana Shivaya Haniya Danani Satravaha Katang Savira Shriyam Angadus Yajam Yuvai Shatot Swastum Aho Sahasubi Kindly chant. Ladies,
you are so strong.
Anyone else? Namanti. Bow down. Yat pada. Whose feet? Niketam. Under. Atmanaha. Own. Shivaya. Welfare. Haniya. Used to bring about. Danani. Wealth. Shatrava. Enemies. Katham. For what reason? Saha. He. Bira. The chivalrous. Shriyam. Opulences. Anga. O Suta Goswami. Dustyajam. Insuperable. Yuva. In full youth. Aishata. Desired. Utsrashtum. To give up. Aho. Exclamation. Saha. With. Asubihi. Life. Please repeat. He was such a great emperor that all his enemies would come and bow down at his feet and surrender all their wealth for their own benefit. He was full of youth and strength, and he possessed insuperable kingly opulences. Why did he want to give up everything, including his life? Purport by our spiritual master, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. There was nothing undesirable in his life. He was quite a young man and could enjoy life with power and opulence. So there was no question of retiring from active life. There was no difficulty in collecting the state taxes because he was so powerful and chivalrous that even his enemies would come to him and bow down at his feet and surrender all wealth for their own benefit. Maharaj Parikshit was a pious king. He conquered his enemies, and therefore the kingdom was full of prosperity. There was enough milk, grains, and metals, and all the rivers and mountains were full of potency. So materially, everything was satisfactory. Therefore, there was no question of untimely giving up his kingdom and life. The sages were eager to hear about all this. Trinadapi sunichena torariva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari harennama harennama harennamaiva kevalam kalo nastyeva 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 gatiranyata. So maybe a month or two ago, I made a statement here in this class that I wanted to, if I had the money, I would put a billboard up. Krishna, the God of your God. Somebody contacted Archita and objected. No names were given, which is good. I don't need to know the name. So I've been holding back. So now I have my ammunition, and I'd like to present my case. Of course, everything I'm going to read to you is by our spiritual master, the ISKCON founder, Acharya Srila Prabhupada. First excerpt, of course, is from the Prabhupada Lilamrita. We shall call our society ISKCON. Prabhupada had laughed playfully when he first coined the acronym. He had initiated the legal work of incorporation that spring while still living on the Bowery. But even before its legal beginning, he had been talking about his, quote, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, end quote. And so it had appeared in letters to India and in the Village Voice magazine. A friend had suggested a title that would sound more familiar to Westerners, International Society for God Consciousness. But Prabhupada had insisted, Krishna Consciousness. God was a vague term, whereas Krishna was exact and scientific. God consciousness was spiritually weaker, less personal. And if Westerners didn't know that Krishna was God, then the International Society for Krishna Consciousness would tell them by spreading Krishna's glories, quote, in every town and village, end quote. Krishna consciousness was Prabhupada's own rendering of a phrase from Srila Rupa Goswami's Padyavali, written in the 16th century. Krishna bhakti rasa bhavita, to be absorbed in the mellow taste of executing devotional service to Krishna. So my next ammunition. Seven purposes of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Number one, to systematically propagate spiritual knowledge to society at large and to educate all peoples in the techniques of spiritual life in order to check the imbalance of values in life and to achieve real unity and peace in the world. Number two, to propagate a consciousness of Krishna as it is revealed in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Number three, to bring the members of the society together with each other and nearer to Krishna, the prime entity, thus to develop the idea within the members and humanity at large, that each soul is part and parcel of the quality of Godhead, Krishna. Number four, to teach and encourage the Sankirtan movement, congregational chanting of the holy name of God, as revealed in the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Number five, to erect for the members and for society at large, a holy place of transcendental pastimes dedicated to the personality of Krishna. Number six, to bring the members closer together for the purpose of teaching a simpler and more natural way of life. And number seven, with a view towards achieving the aforementioned purposes, to publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, books, and other writings. Now, this next excerpt is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The section is in the Adi Lila, chapter 17. Krishnadas Kaviraj is, or you could say Lord Chaitanya Krishnadas Kaviraj, is giving the explanation to the verse Trinadapi Sunichena. So there's a very nice purport. The verse 17:21, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Namai Bakibalam, Kalau Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatir Anyata. Then the next two, Kevala Shabde Punarpi Nishchaya Karana Jnana Yoga Tapakarma Adi Nivarana. Translation. The use of the word Kevala only prohibits all other processes such as the cultivation of knowledge, practice of mystic yoga, or performance of austerities and fruitive activities. Purport. This is the purport I love. Our Krishna consciousness movement stresses the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra only. Whereas those who do not know the secret of success for this age of Kali unnecessarily indulge in the cultivation of knowledge, the practice of mystic yoga, or the performance of fruitive activities or useless austerities. They are simply wasting their time and misleading their followers. When we point this out very plainly to an audience, members of opposing groups become angry at us. But according to the injunctions of the Shastras, we cannot make compromises with these so-called jnanis, yogis, karmis, and tapasvis. Now here's the part that I love. When they say they are as good as we are, we must say that only we are good and that they are not good. This is not our obstinacy. It is the injunction of the Shastras. We must not deviate from the injunctions of the Shastras. This is confirmed in the next verse of Jade, and here's the next verse. This verse clearly states that anyone who accepts any other path cannot be delivered. This is the reason for the triple repetition, nothing else, nothing else, nothing else, which emphasizes the real process of self-realization. Now, the last couple of days, I've been putting together the articles for the Sankirtan newsletter that I do every year. And I just so happened to stumble upon these very nice quotes, which fits in. Understanding one's spiritual identity is called Dharma. The ultimate goal of Dharma is enunciated by Sri Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. On this earth, we have created so many dharmas, Hindu dharma, Muslim dharma, Christian dharma. These are all manufactured dharmas. But real dharma is attained when we come to the conclusion that Sri Krishna is everything. Again, in the words of Sri Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, after many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant for the propagation of this message. We are not preaching a particular sectarian religious system, but real religion, dharma. Dharmam tu sakshad bhagavat pranitam. No one actually knows what dharma is, and no one can manufacture dharma. Dharma is the order of the Supreme Being. No one can manufacture state laws. They are given by the government. The simplest definition of dharma is that dharma is the order of the Supreme Being. Since the Supreme Being, God, is one, his order must be one. How then can there be different dharmas? It is not possible. Different dharmas are created due to ignorance, which causes people to think in terms of Hindu dharma, Muslim dharma, Christian dharma, this dharma, or that dharma. No. Gold is gold. If a Christian possesses some gold, does it become Christian gold? Gold is gold, whether possessed by a Hindu, a Muslim, or a Christian. According to the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Dharma means surrendering unto that Supreme Being. This is Bhagavad Dharma, and everyone should be taught how to surrender unto God. God is one. There cannot be two gods. When there is competition, there is no God. Presently, there is a different God on every street. But Krishna is not that kind of God. He is the supreme God. As Krishna himself states in Bhagavad Gita, Mattak paratarang nanyat kinchid asti dananjaya mai sarvamidang protang sutre manigna eva. O conqueror of wealth, Arjuna, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on the thread. The purpose of this Krishna consciousness movement is to inform everyone that no one is superior to Krishna, God. Then some other excerpts I found. Because many young Americans and Europeans are fortunate and know nothing of any hodgepodge God, they have taken this bona fide Krishna consciousness movement seriously. Krishna tu Bhagavan Swayam. Bhagavan, God, means Sri Krishna. We have simply presented this information saying, here is God, Sri Krishna. And because they have taken this seriously, many young Americans and Europeans are advancing in Krishna consciousness. Consequently, many people are surprised to see how Americans and Europeans have become such great devotees and are dancing in ecstasy. How is it they are so advanced? They have taken the information seriously. Krishna tu Bhagavan Swayam. Whether one touches fire blindly or knowingly, fire will burn. It is not that because the fire is touched by a child, fire will not burn. These young Westerners have touched fire, and consequently, it is acting as fire. I rest my case. Now, Sunday, we'll be having the annual Bhagavad Gita Yajna, and I pulled out some excerpts from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita Mahatmyam from the Sri Vaishnaviya Tantra Sar. Hopefully this will get us enlivened, enthused, jacked up, out of control for the Bhagavad Gita Yajna. I won't do the Sanskrit, I'll just do the English. These are just some excerpts. The human being who wants to cross over the ghastly ocean of material suffering can do so very easily by taking shelter of the boat of Bhagavad Gita. That fool who wants to attain liberation by constant yoga practice without hearing the wisdom of Bhagavad Gita is fit to be laughed at even by a child. One who day and night hears and recites Bhagavad Gita is never to be taken as a mere human being. Without a doubt, he or she is a veritable God. In this way, the heart is purified by knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, a ladder of 18 chapters, which refutes all doctrines propounding sense enjoyment and liberation. Step by step, the qualification to practice loving devotional service is developed. The son of Devaki, the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, cannot be satisfied by anyone's study of the Vedas, anyone's charity, anyone's sacrifice or pilgrimage or vows, as much as he is satisfied by the devotional recitation of Bhagavad Gita. The study of the Vedas and Puranas, verily, the study of all scriptures is completed in all respects by one who studies Bhagavad Gita with devotion. The highest perfection of life is attained by one who recites Bhagavad Gita at a place where yoga meditation is performed, at an exalted holy place, before the Shalagram Shila, and during the performance of a sacrifice, which is exactly what we're going to do. So that's the highest perfection of life you can have on Sunday, if you come. And especially in the association of devotees. I think there'll be some devotees there. One who attentively hears and sings the glories of the purport of Bhagavad Gita, or reiterates that purport to others, such a person attains to the supreme destination. A person who is devoted to studying Bhagavad Gita acquires a friendly disposition to all living beings, despite one's accruing the reactions of previous actions in this world. All the holy places in the universe, such as Prayag, are eternally present wherever Bhagavad Gita, the eternal book of divine song, is present. So Sunday, all the holy places will be there, right outside your office. All the holy places. No need to go to India. Just come to the Bhagavad Gita Yajna. The protectors of the body, in the form of demigods, rishis, or yogis, all reside within the body of one who constantly studies Bhagavad Gita, and they are even present at the demise of one's body. Accompanied by his associates, such as Narada and Dhruva, the cowherder boy Lord Sri Krishna personally appears as a guardian wherever Bhagavad Gita is present. With supreme ecstasy, the Supreme Lord Krishna and his divine consort Sri Radhika are graciously present wherever the conception of Bhagavad Gita scripture is discussed, studied, and taught. Now, Suvas Prabhu, whoever is going to do the Gita Dan, you know, the selling of the Gitas after art, this is your quote. One who donates in charity 100 copies of Bhagavad Gita attains a plane to the absolute, wherefrom rebirth is very difficult to obtain. There's your selling point. I will send it to you. 100 copies, you go to the plane of the absolute. Do I hear 200? 300? 400? Sold! The potency of presenting Bhagavad Gita as a gift is such that the soul, having achieved a place in the planet of Lord Vishnu for a period of 7 millenniums, then associates with that Supreme Lord Vishnu in divine ecstasy. So, best Christmas gift. That's another selling point. Best Christmas gift. Everyone should give Bhagavad Gita. One who with faith recites or hears Bhagavad Gita complete with the glory of Bhagavad Gita, certainly reaches the supreme transcendental destination. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any Ishtagosti discussion, challenge? Yes, back there. So, there's an expression, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Similarly, preaching is in the eye of the preacher. The preacher has to determine how much medicine can this patient take. So that maturity, how do you get that maturity? By going out and preaching. And sometimes you will fall flat on your face, but you pick yourself up and get back in the race. Little by little, you develop faith. Remember what Lord Chaitanya said. The distinguishing feature between the Kanishta, the Madhyam, and the Uttama Adhikari is the degree of faith. So depending on your level of faith, you are able to preach boldly and strongly. But there's also this concept, adhikari. Adhikari meaning, what are you actually realized? What are you actually following? That's where the potency comes from. So your maturity, your potency comes from going out every day, chanting and preaching. And a preacher is very much in touch with Super Soul. So I've had much experience of this. Sometimes things come out and you go, where did that come from? It comes from Krishna. So preach on, fight on. Preaching is the essence. Would anyone else like? Yes, Rabindranath.
I think you were quoting from the Gita Mahatmya.
Yes.
And I just wonder where the translations for all those verses are. I've seen some of them in the Bhagavad Gita introduction, but only
a few. No, this is something I found in the database folio. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's There are two different Gita Mahatmyas. So this one, and I found it in the Veda base. That's where I found it.
Okay.
If you want to know exactly, I have to look it up.
Okay.
More discussion of our wonderful philosophy. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you for a nice discourse, Prabhu. On this principle of preaching, I think that we have to take into consideration, Prabhupada even mentions that if you preach the intimacy of Krishna consciousness to the faithless, it's practically an offense. Because what is the benefit of that? So in the course of preaching, we should be very careful that we meet a lot of people that are faithless. And they don't really have any faith in Krishna consciousness. They don't even know what it is. So basically, those individuals, we shouldn't get into the intimacy of Krishna consciousness and profound philosophy on that particular principle. Those activities are more for internal preaching to convince us and ourselves about the potency of the Supreme Lord and who Krishna actually is. I find that sometimes if we get caught up in a preaching mood and discuss these kind of things with people that are faithless, it just gets into an argumentative situation and never stops. Just like if we were on book distribution, you meet a Christian, and all of a sudden you get in a debate, and all they do is become more faithless, and they actually become offensive. So we should be a little bit intelligent in terms of who we speak to, especially those that are faithless.
What else? Jai. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.